Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, tonight, part two of our conversation. This is a very interesting conversation with our Open House human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, on hoarding under the general umbrella of anxiety disorders. Lynn, welcome back. I'm sure this has been opening the eyes of more than a few people. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Good, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Let's begin with a quick review of last week, what we covered in part one on hoarding.
Okay. Now, last week, what we looked at was hoarding and cluttering, which involves an excessive collection of items which appear to have little or no value and a failure to remove or discard them. And there's different ways that hoarding shows up, and there are different degrees. And there are also a number of different types. There's hoarding that can lead to squalor, and then there's organized hoarders.
And I take it that this is more than just, oh, my husband can't chuck anything out.
This is
bigger than that.
Oh, this is much bigger than that.
And we explored why people hoard.
Yes, what we looked at last time was that hoarding's linked to trauma and loss. The items of value to them take on a personal meaning. And basically, to throw them out, they can feel like you're throwing out a part of their soul or rejecting them. Yeah. So they're also faced with feeling insignificant and lost in their own sense of self. So a person who's hoarding finds significance in their hoarding.
Yes.
And it brings them a feeling that they mean something to someone or to something.
So how do you know if you have a hoarding problem or just a clutter problem?
So you want to know whether you have to tidy up your bedroom, is that right?
My bedroom's always tidy. Ask my wife.
Now, look, there was a study done in 2003 that showed the difference between hoarders and non-hoarders.
Okay. Yep.
And they found that hoarders had, one, an emotional attachment to their objects.
Yes.
Two, they had memory for possessions and their objects. So their memories were associated with the possessions.
Yes. Okay.
So if the possession was thrown out, then they thought that their memory would be thrown out.
Yes.
They had some sort of control of their possessions and objects, so they would come in and move them around, or they'd manipulate them, or they'd, you know, talk to them, or have them so that they could see them.
Wow.
And there was there's a responsibility for their possessions and their objects. So they feel terribly responsible for them. And if they get discarded or left out or put to one side or thrown on the tip, then they feel dreadful, like they've just lost their responsibility.
And they also had differences in the way they think about
Yes,
things,
yeah. Yes. Now, the hoarders didn't have the confidence in their own memories, and they felt uncertain about them. Even though they remembered their items, they weren't confident that the memories that they had were right.
Okay.
Hoarders also needed to keep things in view, so they don't like packing them away. And I know, you know, of a number of hoarders too who have lots of boxes, empty boxes that are hanging around and empty cupboards, but the whole place in their room or in their houses are cluttered because they need to be able to see the items that they like. They get a lot of comfort from being with their items. So that's different from being a hoarder, normal person, if there is such a thing, and, you know, someone who is hoarding. There's a lot of comfort from just being with the items themselves.
Yes.
They might even talk to their items for comfort, like they're their friends. Fourthly, there's a fear of forgetting important memories associated with the items, which I said before.
Yes.
So, you know, if you throw that item out, then I'll forget about that. That whole memory will be gone. They also need to be reassured about things a lot, particularly with regard to their items. So, you know, you're not going to throw that out, are you? You sure you're not going to throw that out? That sort of, please reassure me that you do respect my items as much as I do.
Yes.
There's also a faulty appraisal of important things. So things might be broken or very damaged, yet they'll see that it's very valuable. So they might also, you know, see that other people's items aren't very valuable. Their items are incredibly valuable, even though it's missing a handle or it's chipped or it's, you know, the leg's fallen off. It's still very valuable.
Yes.
There's an incredible limited insight into their behaviour as being a problem as the hoarding progresses. And this makes it very, very hard to treat.
because I don't think I've got a problem.
I don't have a problem. Yes. What are you talking about? Yeah. This is beautiful stuff. Why are you thinking I should throw this out?
Yeah.
Now, Frost and Gross's study in 1993, they studied some hoarders and they found that the most likely justification for keeping an item was that they had a future need. Like, I might need that someday. Now, I would have thought that's a fairly normal thought.
That's a justification.
Yes. Yeah. And but then it's followed by a lack of wear or damage. This is too good to throw away, so I can't throw it away because it hasn't been used yet.
Yep.
Or there might be some sentimental saving, so that means it's too much for me to throw away. Or it might have a potential value, or it might be worth something someday. You know, I have to keep that stamp collection. You never know.
Yeah.
But the difference between people who hoard and people who don't is that hoarders apply these values to a far larger number of items.
Because there's a bit of this in all of us, in a way.
That's right. Yes. And I'm sure you're going through the list and thinking, oh, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Right. But it's the fact that it's a larger amount of items and they can't seem to... I tend to think of it being a bit of like a hierarchy of items, but someone who is hoarding, they sort of don't have any hierarchy. Everything's on the same plane.
Okay, yes.
A hoarder will also be very concerned about maintaining control over their possessions. Well-meaning family members who try to sort and purge the clutter in the hoarder's behalf are likely to find their good deed has an unanticipated result. So that basically means there's an increased effort on the part of the hoarder to protect their stuff from unauthorized touching.
Wow, okay.
If you go in and touch something or move something or just quietly take it to the tip, it could cause an enormous amount of problems.
Yeah.
If you hoard, you probably have problems organizing and maintaining all your possessions. So first of all, there's so many of them. A hoarder can have problems categorizing that, and this is an organized hoarder. They might have problems categorizing, which is necessary for organizing, or seeing each item because they see each item as unique. And that's what I said earlier. They don't put things in a hierarchy. Everything's on the same plane. So how can I put that away and how can I store that when this one's more important than that? Or maybe it's the same as importance. So you can't sort of make decisions. So that ends up with chaos and clutter, and it causes particularly the organized hoarder incredible stress.
Which kind of feeds itself.
Feeds itself. Oh, don't worry, I'm going to sort that out or I'm going to keep that for later.
Yep.
But part of the problem for hoarders is that they find it really hard to make the decisions about what to do with their possessions, whether to keep something or throw away. And the hoarder might feel that something bad will happen if they discard an item, or it might feel like a part of their identity will be lost.
Yes.
So if a hoarder has a past experience of throwing something out and regretting it later, that's also likely to increase their distress. So a bad experience where someone comes and takes something away will actually make the hoarding worse later on.
Yeah.
So to avoid the uncomfortable feelings or distress, the hoarder then chooses the safe option, postpones the decision to throw anything out or saves everything, and they never discard. So the doom and gloom theories are never disproved for them. And some hoarders find that recycling to be less difficult. So going to St. Vinny's is pretty good.
Yes. Let me ask this. Are there degrees of difficulties associated with hoarding? How do you see it progressing and how do you know it's really bad? Perhaps when the authorities need to...
Like I said, this is one of the hardest things to treat.
Yeah.
To establish a degree of hoarding, it involves rating the hoarding. There are 9 degrees,
okay.
Which are rated according to how high and how cluttered the bedroom, the lounge room and the kitchen areas are. 9 is the worst and 1 is the least.
It's a formal scale, yes.
That's right. And there's pictures that depict stage 9 and they show very limited ability to move around in the home and they have to crawl over items to get to their bed or there's nowhere to sit or move in the house. Items are piled as high as arms can reach and doorways and windows are obstructed.
So if we've got someone like this in our families or if they're in our neighbourhood, are there ways in which we could help them?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not easy.
No, I'm sure it's not.
Firstly, we all have a responsibility to report the hoarding to the fire brigade or the local council.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And simply be through a phone call so they can register the home as a potential fire hazard. There have been firefighters who've lost their lives by trying to rescue someone in a house, and they had items stacked to the roof and blocked doors, and the firefighters couldn't get out, and the ceilings collapsed on them because there was stuff hoarded in the ceiling as well.
Yes.
So even if we think it may not be any of our business, it is important just to let the authorities know so they can take precautions and put it on their record if it's a fire or an emergency.
Yep.
Secondly, the person with the hoarding disorder has a problem with insight. So they don't know it's a problem until someone raises the issue with it. So here it's important to let them know that it's just not normal. Most often they'll be as secretive or avoidant, and when you mention something, they'll get upset. However, that means that those who are helping them, like me, can actually get a bit of an insight into it. Very often, psychiatrists and psychologists and GPs are unaware of the extent of the hoarding until the client comes in and says, oh, someone's complained about my stuff.
Yes.
And then you think, your stuff? Okay, tell me about your stuff. And so, again, raising some conflict is actually helpful for us. But be aware that coming in and cleaning out their stuff or taking things when they're not looking, it's just not helpful.
No.
Helping them to unclutter is a long and complicated process and involves a lot of support.
So where do either we, as we're a helper, or they get help then?
At the moment in New South Wales, we've got the Catholic Community website. Catholic Care has actually set up a process of dealing with hoarding. And if you get onto the Catholic Community website, you can see there's a pathway through a maze. They give you a maze, which is a bit like the hoarding maze.
Yes.
It's very well done, actually.
Wow.
And you go through and you answer questions about the hoarder. Swinburne University, also on their website, they have in their psychology department a great course which is 12 weeks in duration for clients who've got hoarding problems. And it involves people remaining in control of their possessions at all time. And that's the key to treatment.
Yeah.
That if you're going to you can't come in and just clean out their house when they're not looking.
No.
You can't do any of that. They will know. And if they came back to an empty house, it would be devastating. It would be almost like they'd been dead. You know, that's how awful it would feel.
So it's
really, really important that they maintain possessions or control over their possessions.
And I suppose the good news is, though it's not simple, it's very complex by the sound of it.
Yes.
There is some help that is available.
I think it's really just starting. We haven't had a huge amount of support in the past.
No.
There's a hoarding channel in the US you can actually watch people who've got hoarding problems and how they had their houses cleaned out.
Oh,
and
that'd
it's,
be right.
It's tragic. It is really tragic
yes,
to
of
watch.
Course, yes.
You know, I just think we've got a huge amount happening on our streets at the moment because people are picking up council cleanups.
Mm.
And I think what we're finding is that people are hoarding more and more, and it's an increasing problem.
Lynn Worsley, thank you so much. Just a quick flash of next week, what we're planning.
Next week, I'm thinking that we will go through the psychology of wisdom.
I think that would be a very good idea.
And I'm hoping to have some wise conversations.
For all of us. I'm sure they will be. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.